Good morning. I'd like to welcome each of you to Three Angels Church today. It's always a blessing to be in God's house and to worship with His people on His holy Sabbath day. We want to welcome our visitors, and we just pray that you will find a home right here with us. And if there's anything we can do to make your worship experience with us any better, please let us know. Today we begin a series on the Sabbath, the 10 pillars of the Sabbath, and it'll cover three different sermons, which will be every other week. Today we're going to be talking about the 10 pillars of the Sabbath, part 1. So, before we begin, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we need your Holy Spirit as we study thy word. We ask that you will enlighten our minds and our hearts and give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and make this study today clearer in our minds. Help us to yield ourselves to your Holy Spirit and be willing to follow you wherever you lead. And we want to thank you and praise you for answering this prayer in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. The Taj Mahal in India is perhaps one of the most beautiful memorials in the entire world. It was built by an emperor around 1631 in honor of one of his favorite wives and described by a visitor as a dream in white marble. It's beautiful. The stately tomb is still a memorial to thousands of tourists who flock each year to see it. Friends, God also has a memorial, not built of marble, but built of time. It is the Sabbath, the weekly day of rest, which was appointed by God in Eden before sin, and will be kept in Eden restored long after sin has passed. Now this morning I would like to direct your minds very briefly to the Lincoln Memorial in D.C., It's a beautiful place. As you visit this memorial, which is larger than life, you can see pillars surround it, which is holding up the roof. There's one pillar for each state that was in the Union when Abraham Lincoln was president. Does anybody know how many states that were? That was there? 36. 36 pillars holding up that roof. This morning, I would like to construct a memorial for you. The memorial we're going to construct is a memorial of God's holy Sabbath day. It'll be constructed of 10 pillars. We're going to do 5 this week and 5 in 2 weeks. Now, the first pillar in this memorial of God's Sabbath, which we will erect this morning, is found in our text where it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day." Which day? Seventh day. God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all of His work which He had made, and God blessed the what? The seventh day, and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all of His work which God had created and made. My friends, God rested on the seventh day. Now, when God rests, we know from Isaiah, verses 28, that God never gets faint or weary. God does not get tired like we get tired, so we need an explanation here of what happened on the seventh day. God did not create the seventh day because He needed to rest. He was not sitting in heaven huffing and puffing because He created the world in 6 days. God's not like that. He does not get tired. He did not get out of breath when He finished creating because the Bible says that He created the world with a word. He commanded and it stood fast. He spoke and there it was. That's how God created it. He wasn't tired. It doesn't take long to say, "Let there be light." He did not need 24 hours, but he took 24 hours. 24 literal hours. That's how long a day is. Leviticus 32, verse 23 tells us that a day is from evening until evening. Furthermore, Genesis 1, verse 5 says, the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening comes first. From sunset to sunset is one day. God did not need that entire day to make something. So we know that the rest spoken of in Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3, is not the rest of exhaustion, but the rest of completion. Now I want to explain that to you. I had just finished landscaping our yard, and I stepped back and I sat down to rest. I just looked at that job I had completed and was pleased with how it looked. I thought it was good. I finished it. I was not resting because I was exhausted and worn out, but I was resting because of completion, just sitting there happily looking at it and rejoicing in what God helped me to do. My friends, that's what happened on the seventh day of creation. God just sat back and looked at it. And the Bible says that He rested. In other words, He rested and admired creation because it was complete. And this is where we get our weekly cycle. The only place where we find the weekly cycle in history is in the Bible. Let me illustrate that to you. From where do we get our day from? Well, we get our day when the earth makes one revolution on its axis. We get 24 hours when the earth moves around once. From where do we get our month? We get our month when the moon, which is a satellite of the earth, makes one cycle around the earth. It takes a month for the moon to travel around the earth one time, and we get our year when the earth, which is a satellite of the sun, makes one cycle around the sun. So the earth is spinning on its axis, the moon is spinning around the earth, and the earth is spinning around the sun. All this activity is happening every second of your life. This is where we get our day, our month, and our year. They are astrological events that are fixed in space. There is nothing that anyone can do about it. They cannot change it. But from where do we get our week? There is absolutely no astrological event which gives us our week. Our week comes entirely from the Bible. God created it. He created the world in 6 days and He rested on the seventh, giving us a weekly cycle. God decreed this a week. Now the week as we know it today is a hybrid. It's a week that's an amalgamation of paganism and the Bible. What am I talking about? Well, the original days in the Bible were numbered 1 to 7. That was it. God rested on the what? Seventh day. It says it 3 times in those 3 verses. He rested on the seventh day. You have day 1, day 2, day 3, on to day 7. They had no name. So where do we get our names? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and so forth. Well, they came from pagan gods. The Romans gave the days their names. Saturn's day, Saturday, Solo Dius day, Sunday, and so forth. So the names of their gods became the names of the days. The days of our week have been named after pagan gods. The English name for the days have come down to us from Roman paganism. So now our week is an amalgamation of the Bible and Roman names. Then the Bible says that God blessed the seventh day. In other words, God spoke well of a Sabbath day and put a blessing on it. Now, I am sure that God told Adam and Eve about the Sabbath. And then it says that God sanctified the seventh day, which means He set it aside for divine use. These three divine actions of God separate the seventh day and a class all by itself. God made time. He made all 7 days. And I want you to notice something. Each day resembles the other days. Each day is 24 hours. Each day has 60 minutes in an hour. And each minute has 60 seconds in it. The Sabbath is no different from the other days as far as the outward appearance is concerned. The only thing that separates the Sabbath from the other days is what God pronounced on the seventh day of the week. He said that He blessed it. He rested upon it. And He set it aside for divine use. Now, let's say my wife has 2 sisters. They all 3 have the same complexion. They all have silver-colored hair cut about the same length. And all 3 have brown eyes and are about the same height. All 3 have about the same shoe size. They all have so much in common, they all look alike. Now, does it make any difference which one I am married to at any particular day of the week? Of course it makes a difference, doesn't it? It makes a big difference. And so even though all the days look alike, God has one in particular that He pronounced a blessing upon, and He says, I want this one set aside. The one that He set aside was at the end of the week, and He said, this is a special day. And it is to be a Sabbath day of holy rest for you. It is to be a day of completion. My completed activity in your life. It is to be a memorial. A memorial of creation. Now for the second pillar, I'd like you to turn to Exodus 20, verses 8 through 10. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 10. It says there, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath. Now here in verse 10, it identifies the seventh day of creation as a Sabbath. Now, how do I know this is the same seventh day as we have today? I want to remind you that Genesis 1 to chapter 6 represents 2,000 years of Earth's history. It is a summary account of what happened. All the details were handed down written and verbally to the people who lived there. As God walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, He explained some things to them that are not recorded in the Bible. Now, how do I know they kept an accurate account of the days, the weeks, the months, and the years in which they lived? How do we know that? Genesis 7, verse 11 says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, the 17th day of the month, you see, they kept an accurate chronology of time since creation. So when the flood came, the Bible says that Noah was 600 years old, and it was on a certain month that the rain started, and not only on a certain month, but it was on a certain day of the month. So evidently, in the Garden of Eden, God must have explained to Adam and Eve about the astrological events that marked the day, the month, and year, and they kept an accurate record of it. The argument that says you can worship on any seventh day in a seven-day cycle is nonsense. Because God says the seventh day is a Sabbath. In other words, it's not a seven-day cycle. But it is a particular day in the week, not just every 7 days. The Bible clearly identifies that records were kept. Noah was 600 years old when the flood started on a certain month and on a certain day. Now we go to Exodus 20, where God says to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Why do you suppose that God said to remember? Why do you suppose He said to remember if it were not in previous existence already? So just from the mere fact of having the word remember before it is teaching us that the Sabbath was in existence before the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Or God would not have said remember. He also said remember because He knew people would forget. He would have said, now I give you the Sabbath day, which is the seventh day. He wanted them to remember the Sabbath. Do you understand what I'm saying? This thing came from way back in creation. It's a special day. And God said it was for rest. For the rest of completion. So that you would know that it's a memorial and that He created the world. God saying remember shows that the Sabbath was not a new institution on Mount Sinai, but was already well known. So He says, remember, remember that it's a Sabbath. Remember that I set the Sabbath day aside as something very special. This is the first thing He says to remember. And then He says to remember the other 6 days. What should I remember about the other 6 days? The Lord says, remember to work on the other 6 days. Because an idle person cannot keep the Sabbath. Did you know that? Because the Sabbath is a reminder that we must work and toil during the 6 days, if we are physically able, and then come to God's house and worship on the seventh day. Do you know that even in paradise, we will inherit the things that we make with our own hands? So there are no lazy people that are going to heaven. The Bible makes it clear in Isaiah. A lazy person would not be comfortable there in the new earth among working people. And so the Sabbath tells me that you should work 6 days in order to appreciate God's life cycle on the Sabbath. Friends, if you're physically able, you work if you want to be a Christian. That's part of God's plan. And then He says, remember, the Sabbath belongs to God. Now that is very, very important. Remember, don't forget that it does not belong to you. It belongs to God. Because God made it. Do you understand that? It doesn't belong to man. It belongs to God because God made the Sabbath. It is His day. It is God's memorial of creation, not my memorial, but God's memorial that points me to God's activity. God made it and He established it. Now the next point that we are to remember is not to do any secular work on the Sabbath. Matter of fact, God says, not only you, but I don't want anybody under your control to work for you on the Sabbath. I do not want even an ox, nor a donkey, nor the stranger that's living with you working for you on the Sabbath day. In other words, my friends, everything under your control comes to a stop on the Sabbath day. You cannot go into business with a non-Adventist partner, allowing him to keep the business open on Sabbath, thinking that will be his end of the deal and not yours while you keep the Sabbath. It doesn't work that way. God says, close it down. Close it down. It's a Sabbath. That means you and anyone under your jurisdiction, even your ox and your donkey. Give them a break. It's life cycle time. God says, come aside and be with me and remember that I am the creator of the world. Genesis 1:28 tells us that God is the creator, but he gave man dominion. Jesus says, I made the Sabbath, you have dominion. But I want you to know something, friends. The dominion that God gives us is subject to his absolute sovereignty. Remember that. Our dominion is under the sovereignty of God. God has the last word. He always will have a last word. Our dominion is only dominion as we recognize the sovereignty of God, and God says that the Sabbath day belongs to him. Now, the first pillar is that God rested. He created the life cycle, and he says, I want you to remember that this is a Sabbath, and I created the world. The second pillar is, he says it belongs to him. And the seventh day is that day. Now, the third pillar is in Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. God says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure, O my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. Now, what's God saying here? Well, he is saying, if you would turn away your foot from the Sabbath and stop trampling upon it, do not make it a common thing. It is different from the rest of the days of the week. Don't pursue your own worldly pleasures on this day. Call it different. Friends, the focus changes from you and me to God on this particular day. It changes from what I have to do in order to live to worshiping him who gave me life. And so the Sabbath is a change of focus. The Bible says, do not consider it a common day, and it starts from evening and continues until the next evening. God says, I have made it for my holy purposes, and I do not want you to trample upon it. Verse 13 says, turn from doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight. A holy day. A holy day of what? Of the Lord. A holy day of the Lord. Notice that it says Lord. It doesn't say God. It says Lord. That means something. This means that there is a relationship in existence now. He is Lord of your life. He is not only God, but he's Lord of your life. It means that he is my master, and I am his servant, for we have now entered into a relationship. And if I recognize that relationship, God then says, I want you to honor that day because of this relationship. This relationship that we are having. He says, I want you to turn away from what you are doing and do what I want you to do. I want you to recognize that I am your God and we are in a relationship, for I have created you. And so the Bible says you are to delight yourself in the Lord. And the reason why the Sabbath might become burdensome to some is that they have fallen out of sync with their Creator. They're no longer in relationship with him, and therefore it is not honorable to honor him. They no longer enjoy spending time with the one they love. Is it not their highest delight to please the Savior? This is why revival is so important, because once you get back in relationship with God, Sabbath observance will automatically result. And if you're not keeping the Sabbath, it's because you're out of sync with God. Every time a church backslides, the last day that it promotes is the Sabbath. When this happens, the church becomes a place where people are entertained, where pastors become actors, and the better they act, the more full the church. My friends, the church is not a place where we come to be entertained by singing groups or drama. But it is a place where we come to worship and to be in awe of a holy, holy God. The Bible tells us we are to call the Sabbath a delight. Not just from 11 to 12 on Sabbath morning when you're in church listening to the sermon. But you are to call the entire 24-hour period a delight. That's why I like to come to Sabbath school. Not only the 11 o'clock hour, but the Sabbath school too, because I can worship God during the Sabbath school. Now, before I get to the fourth pillar, I want to explain something about the consistency of God in creation. You recall what happened in creation. God made the world in 7 days. And we include the Sabbath as part of that creation. When did He make man? He made man on the 6th day. Why did God not make man on the 3rd or 4th day? Well, because if He had made us on the 3rd or 4th day, do you know what would have happened? Man would have bragged and said he helped God on the other 2 days. So God made man at the end of his created activity, so man could not take any credit for that creation. God created by Himself. He did not need the help of man. He created man when it was all over with. Now suppose some rich billionaire came to your house and he said, "I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to give you a $2 million mansion." He takes you over to the mansion on Friday, and it is fully furnished. It's fully landscaped with a garage full of expensive cars. Everything is ready as you just walk right into that beautiful house on Friday, and he says, "It's yours, free." You wake up on Sabbath morning, and you notice that there are no weeds to pull from the garden. The driveway does not need swept. There are not even any dirty dishes in the sink. What are you going to do on this Sabbath when you wake up and see all this? I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to sit back and thank your wealthy benefactor. Friends, that is just what happened on that first Sabbath when Adam and Eve woke up. They just thanked their precious Father for this creation. Thank you for being God. Thank you for being our Father. So Sabbath became a symbol of completion of what God has done for us and what God has done with us. Now let's go to the fourth pillar in Ezekiel 20, verses 12 and 20. Ezekiel 20, verses 12 and 20. Verse 12 says, "Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them." Verse 20 now. "Hallow my Sabbaths, and they will be a sign between you, between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God." Now, there is something new being added here. A sign. Sanctification. The Bible says that those whom God justifies, He sanctifies, which means recreates. So God says, "I am the person who is recreating you." After Adam sinned, you see, we see suffering, old age, pain, cancer, and everything else. Now we can see what's been lost because of sin. However, we can still see some of the original creation. It's still here. Some of it. We can still see God's handiwork when we look out at nature and see beautiful things. But friends, we can also see that sin has caused decay and ruin. When we look at Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary and we talk about sanctification, we are talking about the new covenant. The new covenant is what God wants to do inwardly for you. So the Bible says that when we observe the Sabbath, we are to remember that God sanctifies us. And this becomes a sign. The Sabbath is a sign between you and God. And when you keep the Sabbath, you are going to be telling people by your lifestyle that God created the world. And you also believe that God created you when you observe the Sabbath. So the Sabbath becomes a sign of creation and re-creation. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not that of yourself, lest any man should boast. You are the workmanship of God." Now, when we look at sanctification, what is this text really saying? Well, it's saying that God's work is a great, big completion. Man has not done anything that justifies him. God justifies him. And then God says, "I will sanctify you just the way that I created you in the beginning. I will recreate you in the image of myself as you surrender. And I will do it through my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ." Friends, God is consistent. He said, "I made it and I gave it to man. I recreate man in my image and I do it through my Son, Jesus Christ." And so the Sabbath becomes a wonderful symbol, not only of creation, but redemption. He says, "I made you, I sanctify you, and I want you to keep my Sabbath as long as you live." And when you do that, you are going to celebrate the fact that I made you and I have recreated you in the image of Jesus Christ, my Son. Friends, did you know that an atheist cannot keep the Sabbath day? That's impossible. An atheist cannot keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath is an antidote to atheism. It is a celebration of what God has done for you and in you. Now, some of the people say you can worship on any day. In fact, you should worship on all days. Well, I believe that, my friends. I believe we should be Seventh-day Adventists 7 days a week. Not just one day a week, but we should come together on the Bible Sabbath and honor God as the creator of the world. We should honor Him as the recreator of our lives in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Master. I believe that the interaction between heaven and earth on the Bible Sabbath should spill over into the rest of the days of the week. We should look forward to the Sabbath and come to church to be in awe of a holy God and to worship Him in fellowship with the saints who believe the same as we do. My friends, does the Sabbath get old to you? If a Sabbath is old to you, then your recreation or redemption is old and outdated as well. The Sabbath becomes a celebration of what Jesus has done with me and what God has done for me by giving me life, even though I may be hanging on by a mere thread and dying of old age. Friends, today we have focused on the created activity of God. In two Sabbaths, we will transfer it to man and how it was made for man. But this week we're going to end with a declaration that Jesus made. And this is our fifth pillar. Matthew 24, verse 20. Matthew 24, 20. We read there, "Pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath day." What was Jesus saying here? Well, Jesus was here prophesying the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. And this was before He was crucified. And as He talked to His disciples, He said, look, when the year 70 comes, pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath. In other words, Jesus was telling them that 40 years after the crucifixion and the resurrection, I will still expect you to be keeping my Sabbath and pray that you do not have to flee from the Romans on my holy day of worship. So what Jesus is saying in this fifth pillar is that He still respected the institution of the Sabbath long after the resurrection, because it was Christ in the beginning with the Father who spoke and commanded it to stand fast. It was Christ who would have to leave all the regal splendors of heaven to come down and die for our sins. It was Jesus who understood creation and redemption. It was He who paid with His own precious blood. And He knew that those facts would never be outdated, abolished, nor put aside. He said, if you want to respect me, keep my Sabbath and pray that your flight not be on that particular day. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Friends, the reason I keep the seventh-day Sabbath holy in honor of creation and redemption is because God tells me to keep it and I can defend it from Scripture. Can you? We need to have it in our minds so that we can share it with those who do not know. But I want to mention something to you. We should be God's witness at all times. And if necessary, we may have to use words. You understand what I said? We can be a faithful witness and still be silent by our lifestyle. People will come and ask us, what is it about you that makes you different? Well, in 2 weeks, we're going to have another interesting message on how the Sabbath was made for you. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for loving us so much that You would actually give us a holy day to be a sign of our sanctification and our redemption. We're very thankful that You love us so much that You want one day in seven that we can come apart and worship You and put aside all the cares of the week and not have to be concerned at all with the things of the world. Help us, Lord, to determine by Your grace we're going to start removing our foot from trampling on the Sabbath, and we're going to start enjoying that Sabbath and calling it a delight, a holy of the Lord, a delightful experience that we can worship You and visit and associate with our brothers and sisters of like faith. And we can also share with others as we witness and testify out in the community. And we thank You and praise You for answering this prayer in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.